Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, this is your time. May you, Lord, come and speak to these people. As everybody has come here to listen to you, only you, God, speak through this word and through me. In the name of Jesus, amen. Good morning, church. I'm very happy to see you again. How are you? Okay. So we are going to turn to the book of Daniel, chapter 1. I was preparing to read the whole chapter, but because of time, I will tell you the story. So Daniel chapter 1 is about a selection of young men, people coming from one place to another and getting into exile, but having kind of chance, I can call it that. They are now selected to be in the king's palace to learn so many things. So you can see here, there is Nebuchadnezzar, the king, and Jehoiakim, the other king. Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, and Jehoiakim, the king of Judah. So after this kind of deportation, what happened in the Babylonian land is that they are going to select some of the young men from Judah. And Daniel, with his friends, you can read their names there, verse 6, Azariah, Mishael, Hananiah, and Daniel, they were selected and then trained 3 years. And after these 3 years, they get into the service of the king. But in between, they were assigned to eat and to drink what the king was preparing for them. So this is where Daniel and his friend decided not to defile themselves by this kind of unacceptable meals to them, according to their culture and their identity. So they kept their identity up to 10 days of testing. At the end of the 10 days, they were found better than the others. And then Daniel was given a special gift of interpreting dreams and vision. And this makes him a very good people, a very, very, very good man in the midst of all the ministers. This is the story. Hallelujah. So from chapter 1, you can read on your own. We are going to have a topic, Daniel as a paradigm of authentic Christian witness. Daniel, a model, a paradigm of authentic Christian witness. Because this is about witnessing to God, to their own identity. So I want you to see something on the screen. There is a missing word among all those words. It is about globalization. So there are so many words related to the word globalization, and you can easily read some words there. But at a given point, I've tried to read from left to right, from right to left, from the bottom to the up, and then I missed a word. Globalization, as you know, there is so many definitions and theories, but I can suppose that also I'm an expert in globalization, and I suggest my own definition, like everywhere, everybody is everywhere, okay, coming from everywhere for a purpose. That is globalization also, because we can find people present everywhere on the globe. And you know, something closer to us as Africans, when they say globalization is about planetary village. You say, okay, village, a global village, okay. Because we know what village is and how we live in the village, okay, globalization is a single village, that's good. But we can speak also people. Sometimes when we see the movement of people coming from one place to another, today they are calling it migration. So globalization and migration, they are maybe in the framework of the same words. And what is tricky is like when it comes from the south to the north, they say, oh, this is migration, okay? And when it comes from the north to the south, they say, oh, this is globalization, okay? And now, Because I said that it is about a purpose, some of us are living in different places because of SMS. It's like studies, okay? Mission and services, the jobs. And here we are. In the Bible, we speak of exile. These people, this kind of deportation, people living in other people. As the Congolese, we know when it comes to exile, it means that something is doing wrong in your country, and then you are going to another one. And this happened only maybe for politicians. They are in exile. But this part, the king and Esau, some of his people, went from Jerusalem to Babylon. So the missing word, if you have took a time to read there, is faith. Because faith fits also the framework of globalization. This is a kind of spreading the Christian faith. I can take it as a single faith like that, but I'm going to focus on the Christian faith. So this is the missing word there. So from history to our today's lives, faith, or the Christian faith, has been spread through witnessing. Because someone has believed, he believed and then live and then give in words and in deeds. This is a kind of witnessing, and it is a manner of spreading the faith. As people move from one place to another and witness to their Christian faith, they are making it global. So in order to boldly and effectively witness, we need a paradigm. And this paradigm, we are going to talk about Daniel. But what is the correlation or the relation between Christianity and globalization? From history, I'll say there, we are spreading Christian faith through our going out. This is one of the maps someone trying to draw the world around Jerusalem and say, Acts chapter 2, verse 9 to 11 shows that people coming from everywhere were in Jerusalem, and from there they went from Jerusalem to everywhere. This is kind of a relation between Christian faith and migration, globalization, this kind of moving to people. So I said that in order to witness to our faith, we need a paradigm, and today our paradigm is Daniel, the life of Daniel. I need to focus on three things, and that will be the end of our sermon today. When we read Daniel chapter 1, this is a text about places. You can see that people are moving from Jerusalem, that's one place. Jerusalem is the capital of Judea, but people are also living in Babylon, capital city of Babylonia. So these places, they are very special places because they are capital cities. And if you speak of capital cities, you can see how diverse people are in that city. It is a cosmopolitan environment. It is also different. There are many activities, and you know, sometimes they say these are not activities, they are businesses. We are doing businesses. In capital cities, the capital cities are also educational centers, as I said, but you can easily disappear in the capital city because nobody knows nobody. And it is easy for you to lose your identity. But this is we are talking of people who are now living in a capital city. And you can see Daniel and his three friends, how they are going to stake on their identity. But Daniel chapter 1 is also about partners. The partnership that is there between King Jehoiakim and King Nebuchadnezzar, it is not on equal level. There is someone who is going to be enslaved by another, and it is there. You can see Aspenas, the chief of the staff of those workers, and these partners are also there. You see in this passage, four young men, and when you read verse 6, they say, among those who were chosen. It doesn't mean that they were only four of them. There were several young men chosen. And this was for education. I suppose that they were in their 20s, maybe 18 years old. Because here, for example, in DRC, when you are going to university, and if everything went very well, by 18 years old, you are at university, and at the end of 23 years old, you are done. So I suppose that these people, maybe they were in that category of age. But also, remember, they are not siblings. It doesn't mean that, okay, Daniel is the elder, and then after him, Meshach, and after him. No, not like that. They said, these people are coming from families. They are coming from their own families, and they are not simple families, but royal families and the nobility. Meaning that they are people who can easily even enjoy luxury because they are used to that. You know, some of us, you can be even put into a kind of luxury, but you cannot enjoy of it because you don't know how to enjoy it. You cannot drink, you cannot drive, you cannot do anything. But these are people coming from the royal families and the nobility. So it means that at that age, they were ready to do whatever they could. And they, as I said earlier, they could easily lose their identity. This is not only about places and partners. Chapter 1 of Daniel is also about practices. Things that are going there, and I'll be very quick, they said, Nebuchadnezzar came and besieged the Jerusalem. And after that, there happened a deportation. And they studying training for 3 years, and let me call it, at the Royal Babylon International University. And then they were assigned to eat and drink. Those are practices. Unwilling, I think there is an unwilling change of names. And you know, when you change your name, you change also your identity. See, I'm no longer this, I'm someone else. So unwillingly, they were changed their name. And I can say, was it a kind of bullying or kind of integration in the society? Because people coming to the university, some of people, they are given nicknames. And they tell you that you are now in the court of... So you need to be there and forget about your past, forget about your identity. Here is your family. So you are going to live with this name. And they will start to call you in those names. Then another practice, the king's service. I don't know if they were ministers or kind of someone working for the government. They were also in the charge of interpreting the dreams. And you know, when it comes to special gifts like interpretation of dreams, these are kind of things that can bring you pride. But Daniel did not do that. So, what does it mean to be a witness to the Christian faith according to this paradigm set by Daniel? First of all, when it comes to places, don't, are we together? Don't compromise. Okay, I know that some of us, even Goma is new for us, and after Goma we are going to live in different places, and others, Goma is new place for them. But as you come as a Christian authentic witness, Daniel is telling you that when you change a place, don't compromise. Now, when it comes to partners, people with whom you are going to live, Daniel is telling you that you have to choose the mind-like people, like-minded people, mind-like people, for your circle of friends. I have told you that these young men were not siblings. Every one came from his own family. But they found that, hey, even you, they can say like, because even you. But there was also other people who did not, they did not care about their Jewish identity. So it's like when we go to university, you can find another Christian and you form a group. In other universities, they call it Christian Union or the biblical groups of, things like that. And you know, you can gather because you are found yourself like we are mind-like. And so, you have to choose those people. Even here in Igoma, Daniel tells us that Christian witnessing is about choosing mind-like people as witness to people and bring them to adhere to Christ. In terms of practices, what we are going to do is acting only for God's glory. He said that I, as Daniel, knowing from where I'm coming from, I cannot defile myself with this kind of meal. Act only for God's glory. This is what happened to Daniel, and he set it as a paradigm for us. As we are witnessing all over, from wherever we are, we need to act for God's glory. By so doing, you are faithful and authentic witness to many people as they adhere to Christ you are preaching. So what can I say to conclude this sermon? I need you to think and pray for something that is going on in our midst. First of all, it is obvious that through globalization, different goods and people are easily present. You can find them easily in different places around the world. But think of this. Does this situation benefit the Christian faith? And how? And what is your role? We need to reflect about that. If we can find everybody, everywhere, everything, everywhere, in a single village, does this profit to the Christian faith? What is your role in that? Take a moment also and pray for former Christians who backslidden because of changing places or changing partners or changing practices. Maybe you can remind just one of them that I know my brother, I know my sister. He went from there to there and then he backslid. This issue of backsliding is a very, very dangerous when it comes to Christian faith and Christian witnessing. Take a moment and pray for all those people. And if it is you, pray also. You will become an authentic witness when you are faithful, even different places, firm in your belief with your partners, and always watch out your practices. May God bless you. Amen.
Thank you, dear Pastor.